What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 444, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
444, man.
444.
We're rolling along.
Just every, well, not every week. We missed last week. What would you call it? An emergency.
It wasn't an emergency. You were upgrading the website.
Yeah.
Switching servers. That's not an emergency.
I didn't sleep for essentially 2 days trying to get the website onto a different server. We moved from our previous host. We've had issues with that host for a very long time, and I've kind of just like let them sort of fix it, but it was never 100% fixed. And it was just like less and less functionality on the site. They said we had all these issues when I really didn't think we had all these issues considering the amount of money I was paying. And then it just came to a point where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. We have a lot of important content coming up with launches and then Computex and all that. And I want like a functional website that doesn't go down or have errors. And then on top of that, the back end of the website, which none of you guys see, but Ryan and I see, was very slow and lots of issues there as well. So took about 3 days last week to move from our previous host to a new host. And then I do all this stuff. I pay all this money for a dedicated server. I move everything, which was a chore in itself for a long time. I'm not going to go into why it was a chore to move the website. It wasn't just like a simple copy over. We had 130 or 150 gigs of data because of all the pictures and everything else on the website. And that all that data was hosted in the cloud. So like it was just a whole thing. But so I move everything over and I'm like, oh, we're on the dedicated server. It's all good, right? And then I switched the DNS so all the live traffic goes to the new server. And then the new server spikes at like 99% CPU usage. And I'm like, maybe there are issues. And did I just move all this and not sleep for 2 days just to have the same issue? And I did some research. And what's nice is we were on a managed hosting before, and now we're on a dedicated server where like I have full admin access. I can log in, I can SSH into the server, and I can go ahead and actually see the processes, see the process tree, like see everything. So I could see that there was MySQL was like crushing the CPU, and I'm like, okay. So then doing some research, and again, I'm not, when it comes to server stuff, like I am not a technical person, but I found that the issue was with, because we have such a large database. I mean, the site has been online for a very long time. So we have a very large database with a ton of tables, and there's a simple free plugin that you install. It amends your tables, and our CPU usage was like way up here and then just immediately dropped. And I was like, this was the issue the entire time, and our other hosts couldn't figure this out. And me, Mr. Non-Technical, I'm Googling SSH commands and trying to figure everything out. Yep. And I figured this out on my own. So, but I am happy that we moved over to the dedicated server. It gives us a lot more control over everything. I can go in and see everything. And hopefully you guys notice both on, obviously, desktop and on mobile, the site should be like snap.
It is super fast now.
It should be like, you should just like click through stuff, and it should be honestly automatic. And a lot of the stuff that I had to like remove from the website, like this latest post, like our old host was like, yeah, that's taking up all your resources. I'm like, what? So like we're adding a lot of stuff back to the website. Again, it should be super snappy for you guys. So that was the biggest thing. We want something that loads fast for you, and we can add features to the website that like, again, I have no clue why having like a latest post thing over here would do that. But yeah, so it's super fast, super happy with it. If you guys do have any issues with the website, let us know. But I think I've tested it extensively over the past week since everything's been moved over, and we are all good. So yeah, super happy with everything, and
Cool.
Yeah, it's just no sleep. It's been a while since I like pulled like almost all nighters trying to work on things. And I feel like an all nighter when I'm in my 40s now is
so hard to recover from.
Definitely not the same as an all nighter when you're in your 20s. That's for sure. So, but talking about the website, we do have our show notes page up here. And that's another thing that also got fixed was like, we use caching and like, I would see something because I'm logged into the website, but then Ryan would be like, where's the page? Like things don't update. Everything gets updated now in real time. Like all the stuff's fixed. So, that's one of the good things, but yeah. So full show notes page, guys, if you do want to follow along, and has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. We have some great reviews this week, talking about the RTX 5060 Ti. Also, Ryan took a look at a really cool liquid CPU cooler. We have all of the 5060 news, including the 5060 laptop, which means you'll get a very inexpensive laptop with dedicated graphics. We'll talk about that. The Radeon RX 9060 XT. We're going to go over all the specs, when you can expect it. People finding some really interesting GPU deals at Walmart, of all places. Cables are still melting on GPUs. We'll talk about that. Be Quiet is now making keyboards, and the one looks actually quite good. So talk about that. Razer announces their PC Remote Play, which allows you to basically play computer games on your mobile device. We'll talk about that and some Nintendo Switch 2 stuff. So lots to talk about. Full show notes if you guys do want to go ahead and follow along. Now, of course, we're going to start with the RTX 5060 Ti and our review specifically. Now, just to go over really quickly, the 5060 Ti launched was announced on Tuesday. Reviews came out Wednesday. And there are two variants. There's an 8 gig variant and a 16 gig variant. That's kind of, you get to choose which one. And they do, it is on the packaging, so you know which one you are getting. Now, we took a look at this card, which I'll show you guys, is the Asus Prime card. And Asus is bringing over Prime from their motherboard line. So if you're familiar with the Prime motherboard line, that's what this graphics card is going to be. It's going to be sort of like the entry level. So in Asus's product stack, this will sit below Tough Gaming. And it gives you a pretty solid, like if you look at the card, all black design. Actually, I'll do it this way.
I like the look of this card. I remember seeing this at CES, or yeah, at least a Prime card, and going, okay, this looks pretty good for entry.
Yeah, so triple fan cooling solution. And the cooler is nice and quiet. No RGB, but you have that Prime logo there. And the interesting thing about this is no 12VH PWR, 8-pin PCI Express. That's on the 5060 Ti only. It's not just like a Prime thing, but yeah, just a good card. And then you do have full coverage metal backplate with a pass-through cooling there on the back. The thing that you won't get when you compare it to the Tough Gaming or higher is that you just get your normal ports here. You don't get the extra HDMI that you get on some of the other cards from Asus, but it is a nice card overall. And the biggest thing with the RTX 5060 Ti 16 gig is that NVIDIA priced it correctly this time. I don't know if you remember talking about this. We talked about this last year or whenever the 4060 Ti came out. Remember, the 4060 Ti 8 gig and 16 gig were $100 apart.
Yeah.
And at that price, we even said, like, you can buy another 8 gigs of VRAM for like $20. So,
right, so right, yeah.
So now they're priced $50 apart. But there is a lot of questions about MSRP and everything like that. Before we get into that, as far as performance goes overall, now the 4060 Ti that I have to compare against is only the 8 gig. And I saw around 25% better performance. So I would say if we had a 16 gig, it'd probably be at least 15% better performance. So you're getting 15% better performance and you're getting a lower MSRP. So if I go into the review to get my actual pricing here, the 4060 Ti 16 gig launched at $499. And this is actually $429. So you're getting lower pricing.
That's a nice drop, yeah.
Now, that pricing is questionable, and we'll talk about that. But this is what NVIDIA says is the pricing. Now, this card that we took a look at, this is the OC edition. It is factory overclocked. It is $529. So just keep that in mind. They have a non-OC edition, but that non-OC edition is $479. And that's where the biggest question of this comes in. I think NVIDIA did the right thing as far as pricing, but I don't know if that I think that's a phantom MSRP, at least from my understanding of what's going on. And the reason I say that is because there aren't any MSRP cards at that price.
Imagine that.
At least that I've seen. Now, basically 15 to 20% better performance at a lower MSRP than the 4060 Ti launch at. So I would say this card on paper is actually, if you want to pick it up, I think at that price, it's a good deal. Now, like I said, the problem is that I'm going to bring up these Tom's Hardware and Eurogamer have all of the cards that are available today. And if we look at this, let me bring over, hold on. I'm messing up my screens here.
Doing it live.
Yeah, doing it live. I'll bring this over. Did that pop up? Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, so this is all of the cards that are currently available. You can see the Prime 16 gig is $479. All of these cards, look, the Asus Duel, $479. Nothing is that $429 price. Oh, there's one. The PNY. That's the only one. Every other brand seems to be at the $479 price point. And I just don't. And there's no Founders Edition, so it's not like you can buy the NVIDIA card.
Right.
I just don't understand this, right?
Yeah, to me, one card doesn't mean that that's like your MSRP just because one company released a card at that. Like,
now, if every brand had an MSRP card at $429, but
to me, this looks like an MSRP is $479, and like PNY is trying to like undercut everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
I just, that's the thing about this card is like, and that we've seen this throughout the 50 series. It's not just a
It's
not just a, you know, 5060 Ti thing. We've seen this throughout, and especially because NVIDIA doesn't have a Founders Edition that you can buy for that $429 price point. I don't know. It's really hard to give judgment on this card because what is the actual price of the card, right?
Right. Yeah. If it was never available at the price, which I mean, okay, yeah, you got one for $429 here.
Yeah, but even this one for $429, if you go to Newegg, I mean, you can't get it. It's out of stock.
Right. Yeah.
And was this ever in stock, or is this just like Tom's Hardware?
Just right. Like, was it ever even available?
Yep. Yeah. Where was the Eurogamer? So I have the Eurogamer one as well. And the Eurogamer US prices were, this says 419 plus. That's that one. It shows that PNY model is the only one at MSRP. And again, it's not available. So I'm just like, what is the actual MSRP? And that's the biggest question, right? Because I think I was really surprised at the pricing when I found out what the pricing was at $429, especially considering it was much lower than what they launched the 4060 Ti 16 gigabyte at. But if it's $479, it makes it a harder buy, you know? But again, then we run into the 5070 MSRP. But is that at the actual MSRP too? It's so hard to talk about graphics cards right now because of this issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I watched at my lunch break today, I watched Linus's video about this, and he essentially is saying the same thing. He's like, I'd love to do this, but you know, they're putting us in a terrible spot. Stuff's not available. Stuff that is available is not at the MSRP. You know, just all the things we're talking about here. Yeah. So it's the sentiment all around. And I don't know what it's going to take to make it better, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think we talked, or I at least brought the point up, or the topic up a couple weeks ago, I think, of just like, is there some sort of like legal precedence where it's like, yeah, here's the price, except you can't buy it at that, and it was never available at that. Like,
and I get the availability argument, like, oh, there's none available, so the prices are going to go up, right? That's a supply and demand thing. But this is NVIDIA sets a price, but everybody's pricing their card, at least from what it seems, at $479, right? And NVIDIA is not like making their own card to say this is the price. If there was a Founders Edition, you could say maybe, but there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bad, like, is NVIDIA just setting that price for the headlines? Oh, they put it in.
Yeah, they dropped the price compared to the previous generation. Look at that. Except,
yeah, it's kind of, I'm, it's really hard to kind of judge what to think of this. I think at $479, it's not horrible, but obviously $429 is a lot better than $479. Yeah. And you can't even make the argument as far as like, as we go up in price, the different card SKUs and prices, like going into the 5070 price point, because again, can you get a 5070 at MSRP, blah, 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 right. blah. So, yeah, it's just really difficult to review graphics cards right now, I'd say, because you can say one thing about a price, but then the price doesn't exist.
And they're the only component like that. It's like this, right? CPUs, we don't have this, right? There may be some availability for a little while, but it's not like the, and it's also unique because you've got your AIB partners that, you know, create these cards designed by, you know, NVIDIA or AMD, right? Whereas on motherboards, it's a little different. CPUs, it's a little different. But it's like the only part of the PC that, like, there's so much uncertainty with.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. So as it stands, there's one card, at least listed, in the United States for that price, is the PNY card, right? Which is this one at $429. That's the only one. Can you get it? I don't know. Will this price change to $479? We don't know. But safe to say from what we're seeing here, the card essentially has an MSRP of $479.
Yeah.
From what we're seeing. Now, it could be wrong. And that's the 16 gig model. But I mean, you're seeing the same thing on the 8 gig model. The 8 gig model is supposed to be $379. Yeah. Is there a card that's $379? $419 is the lowest, right?
There's no PNY that's swinging in there yet.
That's what I mean. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. You get gamers excited about these lower prices, but you know what I mean? We're not seeing that across the board.
Yeah.
So, and again, these aren't like the premium models. It's the Asus Prime. And I think that's the lowest one. That's the Gigabyte Windforce. It's not their higher end models. Cause like the higher end model, the OC edition of the Asus Prime of the 8 gig is $469. The Tough Gaming is $539. The Tough Gaming, again, is $539. So
I don't like it.
I don't like this at all. It's just so tough to say, oh yeah, you can get it at this price, but you can't. That's
right. And like you said, like, you can't say it's like a good value or like rate the performance. You need that like solid price point to go off of, or you've just got to like figure out what you're gonna consider to be the true MSRP and base it off of that, right?
It's just a whole mess. I like Asus's Prime card. I think it is a good card overall. Great cooling solution, like I said. pretty sleek little design, nice and quiet. And it is a 2.5 slot card, so it fits NVIDIA's SFF ready specification. Going to be good for a smaller form factor build if that's what you were looking for. I might actually install this in an upcoming small form factor case review I'm doing. So I just thought about that. So yeah. Before we go any further, we have a bunch of people in the chat. We have my old friend Cherry. She's in the chat. Good to see you here. Hopefully all is well. We have Born Joker in the chat as well. And of course we have Old Man in the chat. Good to see you here, and thanks for stopping by as well. And the interesting thing about this card as well is that there were not really any reviews of the 8 gig model, which is concerning.
When you're releasing them on the same day, right? Like, people want to know that comparison. They want to see the 8 gig prime versus the 16 gig prime, and like know which one suits their needs and requirements.
So they can So there's just a lot of speculation. I would say overall the 16 gig card is not necessarily that bad, but my conclusions initially were based on the MSRP that NVIDIA gave. So if that's not a true MSRP, then I'm going to have to update my review. But in any case, I would say it's not as bad as what we've seen from NVIDIA as far as pricing and performance. It's decent, and it's going to be a really good 1080p card. You can push a 144 hertz monitor no problem at 1080p. You can also do 1440p well over 60 FPS. And then, of course, you get DLSS4. So you technically could do 4K gaming, but you're going to have to enable multi-frame generation. And of course, your game has to support that. But I think for 1440p over 60 FPS, 1080p over 100 FPS, this card, that's kind of what it is made for. Having the extra VRAM is also going to be very important. And if you want to do like other things with the graphics card, as far as like AI stuff, you're going to want the 16 gigabytes of VRAM as well. So that's kind of all I have to say about it right now. We might do a follow-up when we get some more clarification on pricing and things like that. But Ryan, you took a look at an AIO from Be Quiet.
I did.
I'll bring it up here.
I added it to Sherry. It's down there on the bottom.
I know. I keep on clicking to add to stage and it's not doing it.
What happens if I do it? Remove other media streams from the stage. There we go. Yeah, so I took a look at the Be Quiet Silent Loop 3. All-in-one liquid cooler. As you can see there, we've obviously got some RGB to this cooler, but if you're looking for more RGB than that, you're out of luck, because that's it. But I do think it looks pretty good. I was really impressed with the look of this block, even as like basic as it is, it still looks pretty good. Anyhow, Silent Loop 3. So they offer this all-in-one cooler in a 240, 360 and 420 millimeter size. So you've got multiple sizes available depending on your build requirements. It's going to have hardware and fitment options for all current AMD and Intel CPUs and sockets. So, you know, they include everything in there for you with that. Comes nice and packaged in just a little form-fitting cardboard box. One cool thing about this, though, in addition to the like standard mounting brackets and screws and everything, they give you a bottle of additional coolant. And if you look in their instructions manual and just, you know, their documentation, they recommend possibly topping this system off after about 2 years of use. And that's kind of a lot different than a lot of the other manufacturers of all-in-one coolers, because we've always thought of them as just, hey, this is a sealed loop, like the liquid's in there and it's going to be in there. And you could usually get like 5 years or so out of one of these. Maybe more, maybe less, but at some point that liquid dries out in a lot of these units. And since they're a sealed unit, you're either like hacking this thing open and trying to seal it back up, or, you know, you're just tossing out and getting a new one. Well, Be Quiet built in the option to refill, and we'll get to that here in a second. But it's nice that they give you some additional coolant for that. And it comes in a bottle that has a nice tip so that you can insert it into the refill port on the side. They just make things easier here. So, like I mentioned, pretty standard looking all-in-one, right? It's an all-black design. Black's the only color they offer this in. Nothing like flashy or fancy about the looks of it. Standard 360 millimeter radiator here, 27 millimeter thickness, which is pretty much your standard for most of these all-in-one coolers. Let me escape out of there. Yeah, so you know, very, very standard basic design on this. Here is that fill port, though. We've got a little screw with like a rubber gasket there in between. If at some point you think you need to add some more liquid after those 2 years, pull this thing out, tip it on its side so that this thing's towards the top, take the screw out, refill it, put it back in, and you are good to go. So that's really nice. It does come with a 3-year warranty, though, so you're covered for 3 years of use with this anyhow. I wouldn't anticipate, you know, this running out of liquid or anything, but in that 3-year time period. But if it does, you've got some additional coolant there available. So this is a view at essentially what you would be looking at with this pump housing. I really like the look of this. It's got like, it's all black, but then it's kind of got like just this really dark, almost gunmetal colored bar that goes across, and then some vertical bars that kind of breaks up the RGB LEDs that are underneath. I just think it looks really nice. Like it's just,
yeah, I don't know, we're so used to like, right? We're so used to like screens or like really crazy RGB, and this is very sleek and just like kind of industrial looking almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's no LCD screen or anything like that here. Be quiet has kept things really simple, to be honest, you know. And then you've got your standard swivel fittings on the side of the block. Work our way around. A really nice sized base as well. Nickel plated copper here, and it is shifted off to the side just a little bit. We've seen this with a lot of coolers recently. You can kind of see it in this image a little.
Yeah.
But your pump housing is off shifted, you know, that's so we get clearances around hardware and things like that. So we've just been noticing that recently on some coolers. A really nice feature about this cooler as well is it comes with 3 of their Silent Wings 4 fans. Really, really nice fans. If you're not familiar with them, you know, they've got the rubber dampening at the corners. That's pretty common nowadays in like most fans. But the frame of this fan is like, it's kind of like a modular fan. It's separate from the fan housing and the body that actually holds the fan hub in the middle, and it helps reduce vibrations moving from those spinning fan blades to the rest of your system via the fan chassis. So kind of hard to explain. They've got, you could like write a whole article about these. I don't have time to go over it all right now, but these are actually really, really nice fans, so I like seeing them included. Now, they don't support any daisy chaining, so each one of these is going to have to be ran to a fan hub. Thankfully, though, they include a 3-2-1 PWM Y cable so that you can just hook them up to your header of choice and get them connected over. Installation, super easy. One thing, though, we are on a new test bed. So moved over from the AMD AM4 platform and an 1800X over to an AM5 system with a 7600X. So moved up quite a few generations of processors just to get, you know, some more modern temperatures and components in here to the build. So we've got a whole slew of new hardware, but really the installation process from AM4 to AM5 most of the time is identical. There's just a little different bracket spacing on those motherboard mounts. But here's a quick picture of those fans mounted to the radiator. They do not come pre-attached, so you will have to put them on in a manner that works best for you. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about running cables, which way you want the airflow of those fans to be going, things like that. Does come with some universal mounting brackets that are built into the pump housing, so you don't have to attach anything to the block itself.
So you don't have to like take off the or the Intel ones if you're doing
right. AMD, yeah, a lot of times they'll come with Intel already on there. You got to take that off, put the AMD hardware on. Nope, AMD and Intel use the exact same hardware there on the pump housing itself. Put a couple standoffs on the motherboard, attach some brackets to them, And then, of course, apply your thermal paste. And this is the first time I had built a new, chip with this, the funky looking heat spreader. And yeah. I was just like, oh, this stuff's going to get everywhere. But no, it's fine. It just cracks me up. Yeah. This is a cooler, though, that does not come with pre-applied thermal paste. They do include a little syringe of thermal paste for your build. But whether that's cost savings or, whatever the case may be, just one of those that you're going to have to do yourself. Here's a quick shot of the cooler in the system. Again, very subtle look here, all black. And when it's not lit up, it's pretty stealthy looking, in my opinion. But I think it looks pretty good. Since this is our first cooler on this new test bench, I've only got one cooler on the graphs. Now, I have four other all-in-ones for this system lined up, ready to go here over the next couple weeks and months that will be coming out. So these graphs will expand with more systems, but I've got a whole list here of all the components in the new build. ASRock motherboard, some stuff Patriot sent over for the memory and storage. And you can check that all out there. Now, I also changed up, and maybe if readers and viewers and listeners have feedback on this, be willing to listen. But I wanted to change up the testing a little bit. So we still have our idle and load testing, but I've kind of changed it so that we have a reading at certain RPMs of this cooler, so that this machine, this cooler at 500 RPMs was able to cool to 39 degrees, right? But if I have a cooler from another company, what does that cooler do at 500 RPM? And where that really comes into play is across those idle and load temperatures on those performance numbers. What it really points to is how loud is it? Because sure, I could get this thing to run pretty cool, right? 66 degrees, maybe, compared to 75 at the slow end. But what does it sound like when that thing's going? So, because a lot of people maybe don't want to listen to their machine running full speed just so they get, maybe another 2 FPS or, a couple degrees cooler. So I wanted to keep some of those items in there. So just something we're kind of, working on figuring out exactly how we want to display the graphs and what data we want to show. So this may change a little bit in the future, but for now I'm going to keep it as is. But you can check out all those temperatures, not coming anywhere near the temperature max of the 7600X. That max is 95 degrees Celsius. The hottest we got at 500 RPM on those fans, where you can barely hear them, is 75 degrees. So plenty of headroom on this cooler. Couple shots of just the system lit up. I really like that look of
I really like that. Again, we don't have RGB lighting on the fans, because adding that little bit of RGB lighting on the pump block is nice. But for people who don't want that crazy RGB, it's definitely nice.
Absolutely. I agree. And where I was going with this kind of new thought on the graphs and testing is finding that sweet spot for you of performance to noise that you want to put up with in your environment, right? Because looking at the graphs, the difference in temperatures between 1000 RPM and anything above 1500 doesn't make sense for the extra noise, right? So you can run it a little slower, a little quieter, and get the same performance out of it, which I think is important if you care about noise output. If you don't,
if you're 100%. Somebody who's not wearing a headset, you're not gaming, you're just sitting there working or whatever it may be.
Yep.
Since
there's no LCD here, the only connections on the pump housing are the PWM to power it and the RGB connector for the lighting in the pump housing. So there's no software for this. So any control you want to do with this is going to be via either your motherboard headers that you've got it plugged into, or if you've got it plugged into a separate standalone fan controller or something like that. So keep that in mind. Your control is all by those. There's no Be Quiet application you've got to install to run and configure and control this. It's all done via your motherboard. Pricing's about $165, which feels pretty good considering you are getting three of the Silent Wings 4 fans, which are super nice and have some really nice specifications. Again, since this is our first cooler here, I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. But that may change based on the results of more coolers coming into the mix, right? If this ends up being like the hottest one, you know, we may drop that down because, you know, right now we don't have anything to compare to in the graphs. So, yeah, great idle and load performance. Silent Wing fans, you get the extra liquid cooling, which is great. No software support. Not a huge deal since you've only got one RGB zone and your fans aren't pre-installed, you know. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, I was really happy with it. It's the first Be Quiet product that I've personally looked at. And yeah, no complaints here.
Nice. Really. Nice. I think it, like I said, I think it's a perfect balance between having a little bit of flashy, a little bit RGB and yep. not, and you're getting that really good performance, especially with the Silent Wings 4 fan. So definitely go ahead and check out Ryan's review. We have Corey in the chat. Good to see you here, Corey. And old man in the chat said, he did say something funny. He goes, I like being able to top off an AIO. My EVGA sounds like it needs topping off. And then he said, to be fair, it sat on his shelf for 4 years before I used it. So yeah. Have you ever have like really old hardware that you like, you finally decide to use?
I mean, I have a bunch of old hardware that I haven't used and I should probably just get rid of, but yeah. every now and then I pull something off. I'm like, oh yeah, I could use this thing.
Yeah. So we're going to move on from our reviews to Case Mod Friday. Of course, this is where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Johnsbow TK1, which is actually the case here. This is by Bernardo Mod Shop. And I told Ryan, I was like, you should do a build like this. This is like the perfect size that you were kind of looking at.
Yeah, no, it is pretty sweet.
All white build, white coolant, white fittings. I think this looks great.
What are these fans that have these like red or orange or copper dampers in between them? I think they look kind of cool. I like that frame design on them. But yeah, it's nice. You know, all the turns and bends are done via fittings. So pretty
simple. They might be Bitsky. Yeah, uh-huh. They might be those. Because that's who's making these radiators, so maybe, but I can't tell.
Yeah, it's very compact.
It's hard to tell what that says.
Barrow, the other...
The water cooling is Barrow.
It is cool. I don't know if I'm ready for another hard tubing build, and like especially this compact, like you don't have any like flex. Sometimes like on that long bend or that long run up top, you can kind of flex the tubing a little to get it in. But on some of those, you really got to think about your install order and how things are going to actually go into this build.
Yeah. I think it's a sleek little build. I would love to have this thing sitting next to me. I think it's just a sleek little build. Good stuff. So shout out to Bernardo Mod Shop for that one. Awesome little build. And again, that's the Johnsbow TK1 if you're interested in the actual case. No crazy mods were done to the case. So this is kind of like what sort of your build would look like, obviously, if you didn't do water cooling. But really great stuff there. And now we'll go to news. So we talked about the 5060 series. The only thing that we didn't mention when it comes to the 5060 series is the actual 5060, not the TI version. The 5060, now again, we'll just say like, don't know actual MSRP, but it's going to be available in May. So in NVIDIA says $299, but we don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably $329.
Yeah.
But we don't know. But that's the only thing we didn't cover when we were talking about it in our review. So, and again, like you look at these are the MSRPs that NVIDIA says, but what you can actually get it for is a whole different thing. But yeah, so that's on the desktop side of things. We also have information on the 5060 laptops. So there are going to be a bunch of new laptops coming out with RTX 5060 discrete graphics. Biggest thing here, as you can see from the previous generation, you're getting better performance, same 8 gigabytes. It's going to be GDDR7, not GDDR6. power consumption has gone down. So you're going from 115 watts to 100 watts, which means essentially you'll have better battery life for your laptop if you're not plugging in. And from what, again, this is what NVIDIA is showing. I mean, if you look at this, this is what they're showing. I assume this is with, yeah, DLSS on. So
I was about to say 323 FPS in Rivals. I was like, something's wrong with my 5080.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this will be some of more affordable laptops that you can game on, specifically at like more or less a 1080p. But like just over $1,000, you know, for a 5060, which, or 5060 based laptop, which I don't think's that bad. We'll see what different models come out, what they're actually capable of when we get to real reviews and things like that. But that's also going to be coming out. So for those who maybe it's been of, you know, 3 or 4 years since your laptop, if you wanted to get a new one, it might be, you know, if you're in that kind of price range, what you're looking for, that might be something to consider. Also, Radeon RX 9060 XT. So we will be getting something below the 9070 and 9070 XT. We'll be getting a 9060 and 9060 XT. We have some specs. So this is also going to be like NVIDIA. NVIDIA had 8 gig and 16 gig. This is going to have 8 gig and 16 gig variants as well. Let's see here. So you're going to get 32 compute units on the 9060 XT, 20 gigabit per second memory, TDP of 225 watts. You know, pricing. Now, again, this is pricing in air quotes here. 8 gig between 269 to 299, 16 gig between 329 to 379. You can't like make any conclusion about this because you don't actually know the price. Right.
Well, at least with the 9070 XT, didn't they require for a certain amount of time? How long was it that they had to sell the like base at that price? Wasn't it like for the first round, right? So maybe they'll do something like that. And I think I think NVIDIA would gain a lot of like community, I don't know,
favor,
like if they would at least try and do something like that, you know.
I mean
it doesn't make them money. They can make more money by just selling more expensive cards, but
and I mean the AIBs don't make any money off the MSRP models, so that too. But also talking about the 9060 XT, should be announced at Computex and launch right after. So it should be announced at Computex, which kind of makes sense because if this is going to compete against the 5060 Ti, 5060 Ti is out, we know everything we know. So they can kind of position the card how they want. I just hope it's not like, oh, we're going to see it. And then like at CES, there was no announcement and then we had to wait for it. So, but I don't think it's going to happen because I mean, Computex is next month. And if you go anywhere past that, it's going to be a lot. That's pretty far for a card that's supposed to compete against the 5060 and 5060 Ti's. So yeah. So
Corey did have a question in chat before we move to the next.
Corey said, I ordered 3 Noctua NF F12 fans for my Pop Fractal air case, hoping it's a good choice of fans cooling off my 3090. 3090 is a very, very inefficient cooling wise. I used to run one and it was very inefficient. Depends on which 3090 you have. I believe you, Corey, you have the Founders Edition, I believe. The Pop Air is kind of small case too.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of your issue could be as well, just having that small of a case. Now it does, from what I remember, the Pop Air does have proper cooling on the front, right?
I think so.
Like,
and these are the 2000
RPM. Yeah, because I reviewed this case. It has cooling. It has like mesh on the front. Now,
these fans are going to be pretty loud though. If they're a 2000 RPM fan, yeah. Like,
honestly, I think that a different case would probably suit you better, especially a case that would have fans on the bottom too, because all this is being blocked off the bottom. You're not getting any more. I mean, you just have two fans here with the one here. I don't know if you have any up top, but I just don't. Yeah. How big is the XL? Yeah, I mean, you would want something bigger. Just like a bigger case would suit you a lot better. You're at least for the trying to cool off a 3090, in my opinion. Now, upgrading the fans is never a bad idea. I don't think these fans that come with it are necessarily horrible, but they're not amazing either. So I think that's the biggest thing that you would kind of be into. I would say install your fans, see what temperature difference you get. If you're not seeing much of a temperature difference, it could be time to upgrade to just a bigger case. It's going to give you better cooling options. I think that would be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Ryan.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. But talking about GPUs, if you're in the market for a GPU, you know where you can go, Ryan.
Where's that?
You can go to Walmart, apparently.
I go to Target?
No. I think it's just Walmart.
Just Walmart? Okay.
So I haven't been to Walmart. I mean, Walmart's the worst. The worst out of all of the retail stores, in like when you're going grocery shopping, Walmart is the worst user experience in my opinion. It just is. But apparently they have like a discount section. I don't know because I don't go to Walmart, but apparently they have a discount section, and in that discount section it looks like people have been finding graphics cards, 50 series graphics cards, for well below MSRP. So here's a PNY RTX 5080 for $859.99.
Is this more than one person?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that I was reading the comments on Reddit. This one, 5070
515.
Jeez. Yeah, these are open box. I was reading the comments on Reddit and somebody was like, yeah, I used to be a manager at Walmart. They made us mark them down just to sell them, just to get rid of them.
Well, yeah, because I mean, think of anything else at a Walmart. Like, what even comes close to being even at the markdown price of 800 and something, what else are you going to buy at Walmart that costs that much? I don't even think you can get their biggest TV for that much, probably.
Probably not, no.
Like, that's probably the most expensive item in the shop. They probably just want it gone.
Well, that's the thing. So if you have a local Walmart, I guess
I better stop in and go to the return.
You know, the thing is that you could still buy it and then sell it for more, probably.
Yeah.
I would say if you have a local Walmart, maybe just go in, go see if there's any graphics cards there. You never know, right? Yeah. But like I said, 5080, 859, 5070, 514, and there's probably more. This is just what we saw on Reddit, but.
Well, I'm sure these are like online purchases, and then the return is like, oh, you can easily return this at a store. Just take it to the store, right? And that's how it ends up there.
Yeah, who knows? But it's there. So if you want to pick one up, like I said, if you're going to Walmart, see if
it's. Yeah, just swing through electronics.
Yeah, swing through and see if you can find a deal, because those are definitely really, really good deals. Now talking about graphics cards, we've been doing this for 2 years now, with melted power cables, burning cards. Yeah. It looks like another graphics card, a 5070, has melted somebody's 12VH PWR power cable, which is kind of concerning, because it's not like the 5070 is pulling a ton of power. But this happened to somebody. They posted all over X, Twitter, all about the issue. And again, it wasn't the connector that melted. It was actually the, like, one of the cables, which is weird. And it doesn't appear that it was user error either. That's so what do you think happened?
I don't know.
It's like a weird power spike or something.
Click on. Oh no, that's okay.
I mean, you can click on. I mean, I think
the other image though. Go to the.
This one.
Yeah, yeah. So is it? It's one of the thicker cables. So it's not one of the four up top. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
And is that melted all the way to the housing? It looks like it is. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, all the way to the plug. I mean, because one of those looks like it's kind of funky looking. I don't know. I can't tell. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was a bad connection inside the plug that just hadn't ever.
I feel like this is like just going to haunt NVIDIA for like a while.
Yeah.
It seems, I don't think there's been a card that hasn't had this issue. At least one reported instance. Now, obviously, this is like one reported instance of it happening and we're covering it because, you know, because. But it's not a widespread issue. It's not like the 4090 widespread issue. That was more of a widespread issue. And that was more of a connector kind of issue. I think this is probably a one-off and it's not really that big of a deal. But it's just crazy how this continues to happen. Even if it's just one, I mean, there's what, hundreds of thousands of 5070s sure. being sold. So it's not like it's even 5% of the, you know, it's less than 1%. Moving on from graphics cards, one really cool thing, and I know a lot of people aren't necessarily interested in these, but I think for the power that you get out of such a small thing, and if you're not wanting to buy a full pre-built PC, but you wanted a smaller kind of almost like a PC console, the ROG NUX are actually quite nice, and they just unveiled their 2025 ROG NUC. It's going to have a 5080 inside, and it's small. 3 liters.
Jeez.
So it is very, very small. And you'll have the ability to get up to an Intel Core Ultra 9 275HX, RTX 5080 laptop GPU, 16 gigabytes of DDR5, 1 terabyte SSD. And then you get all the connectivity you want, Thunderbolt 4, USB, Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth, everything, starting at $3,300. So not cheap. No. But it's like a super
compact.
Super compact, powerful system here. It's not necessarily like when you think of a NUC, you think of like this low powered internet machine. This is not that. I mean, you get, like I said, a ton of stuff here. And like I said, up to a 5080.
Well, and there's a lot of like innovation and work and R&D that goes into like designing one of these to keep it cool and put that much power inside of it. So they must be selling these on a large enough scale to keep coming out with new ones.
Well, that's the thing too, is you have to think about like, okay, you know, even my system, it still takes up a decent amount of space. Yeah. And this thing is tiny. And if, you know, people who maybe are getting into PC gaming, they can just buy this instead of buying, like I said, pre-builts are like, again, the same size as my PC, maybe a little bit bigger. This takes up hardly any space. It's more like a console. It's like buying a PS5. This is smaller. This is
smaller than that.
Much smaller than a PS5.
It's like the size of a Wii.
Yeah. It's
probably a little bigger, but
super, super small. So yeah, pretty cool. If that's something you're interested in. The only thing is with one of these, it's like, it's not really upgradable, but when you're buying something like that, it's kind of, you know, inherent. Moving on to keyboards. So we just took a look at a Be Quiet AIO, but they are now entering the keyboard market. And I have to say, these don't look all that bad.
It looks pretty good.
So this is the dark mounts and light mount series of keyboards. So here's the dark mount. And the cool thing about this is that this section is, I believe it's removable. And I think you can move it to the other side. And then this section up here, which is like a multimedia and has a screen, this could be moved all over. the top edge here, which is kind of nice. So you can see, you can have it completely disconnected if you want, but you can put it up on there as well. And you can see where that connection is right there. There's one over here, so you can move it. And yeah, I kind of like this. And I think this is quite nice as well. The display, we both had the Logitech G15 with the little display up there.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Like, do you see this as being useful
for some people? Like, I have a Corsair keyboard that I've used forever, and I never use any of the buttons up on the top row. But I also don't like listen to music on my computer. If I am playing, have like YouTube going, I just use the controls on screen. So I'm not someone that uses buttons like this. So for me,
I think
it's not that big of a deal.
I think the thing that I do like about this is that this section is detachable and you can use it standalone.
Right. So is it connect wireless then? Like
how? No. So it requires a Type-C. So it's being connected via Type-C here, but you can
Image showed it detached, but the screen was on. So I was like,
See the Type-C that it goes into right there. But that is kind of nice that if you just wanted to use it on its own. And again, I really like so many people. So actually a handful of my friends are like, I need a detachable number pad because I like to use it on the opposite side of where it's normally at. So this is nice. And this has the OLED screens, I believe, on it as well. So pretty cool. I like that one. And then the light mount is essentially sort of like the same, but you don't have the detachable keyboard or attachable number pad. It just has a built-in number pad. And then you don't get the top, the multimedia. You just get this little dial over here. But it's nice to see Be Quiet get into something else. And we'll see how these
remind
do.
Me of, or at least the glow from these, remind me of the glow that like the Rockat keyboards had. And some of the design aesthetics too. But I know they got purchased by Turtle Beach.
Yes.
So that's...
But yeah, you are kind of right. It does look that way.
It's just, there's some things that, I don't know, something just reminds me of that design.
Yeah,
language.
But we'll see how these do. Maybe I'll try to get one of these into review and see how they feel and everything like that. Of course, they are mechanical keyboards and all the rest. So I'm just I think some people love this really, really big keyboard, like with the number pad and all of that. I'm so into, like, it has to be super small for me now. I just like the smaller keyboard for me overall. But I know some people love these really, really big keyboards. But yeah, pretty cool to see there from Be Quiet. And Razer has announced their PC Remote Play. So this essentially is quite useful, especially if you like, you have this whole library of PC games, but then you're like, I just want to like relax on the couch. So do I buy at least $600 Steam Deck or ROG Ally or something just to play my games, or can I use Razer's PC Remote Play? So Razer PC Remote Play allows you to essentially stream your game from your home PC to any mobile device quite easily, and they just say all you have to do install Razer Nexus and Razer PC Remote Play on your mobile device, enable Remote Play in Razer Cortex on your PC, sign in with your Razer ID, your PC and mobile device will automatically pair, and then you can use a controller, or if you're just playing just on the tablet or on the phone, you don't need a controller. But they're obviously doing this to promote their controllers, but you don't need their controller to do this. It's just going to work. And yeah, it supports Steam, Epic Games, PC Game Pass, and other games.
Does it work across the internet, or do you have to be like on the same LAN? Do you happen to know?
I'm pretty sure it's just local. So you'd have to be on the same Wi-Fi network.
Yep. That makes sense. I mean, that'd be a pretty big feat, and requirements for that would be kind of
Yeah, I don't think, and I don't think your experience isn't going to be good if you're trying to stream from home to wherever you're. Yeah. But I like this. I think there are so many times where like you want to play that PC game, but you'd rather just kind of relax on the couch. And I think this is the perfect thing. We used to be able to do this with NVIDIA's little console thing. What was that thing called?
What the, oh my gosh.
What was it? That? I mean, we're dating us. Like, that thing's pretty old. That's at least 10 years old.
Yeah. And well, and Steam kind of had it with the good Lord. I can't think of anything.
The Steam Link.
Yeah.
Yep. I had one of those.
I had a couple of them.
Yeah. This is very much the same thing. I'm a fan Shield. Of it.
Yeah.
NVIDIA Shield. Yeah. Old man was correct in saying that. Yeah. The NVIDIA Shield did very much the same thing. And just the softwares are talking to each other and allows it to happen. It'd be interesting to see like what's the lag like what's, you know, how seamless is the experience. But I think if you're like on a 5 gigahertz or higher, it would be pretty good, I would assume. But
dang, you know, I was looking at that Razer Kishi V2 Pro. Nah, that's a little much for me. It's 130 bucks. Like,
yeah. It depends. Like, if you're playing a lot, especially if you have something like this, like would be like more like a tablet, you could definitely spend the money on it if you're doing it a lot. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm glad that Razer did it. It just makes it easier if that's what you want to do. You kind of want to relax. You don't want to have to sit at your computer. It just makes things a lot easier. And again, somewhat you have less distraction. If you're sitting on your computer, you're opening up different things and you're opening up, you know.
Yeah.
So I like that. Also talking about gaming, new pre-order dates for the Switch. Of course, those got moved because tariff stuff. So now the pre-order dates is April 23rd in Canada, and US pre-orders are expected to be the same time. Still launching June 5th, $449 for standard, $499 with Mario Kart World Bundle. How many do you think they're going to sell?
All of them. I mean, a lot. I don't think this is going to
keep people from... they're going to sell a lot. Just because of how popular mobile gaming is. Mm-hmm. On top of, it's been a while since we've had a Switch. The new features. And then again, this is launching in June. Then you have holiday coming, and it's going to be a perfect holiday gift for a lot of people. I think I will sell out really well. So that is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at, that is because I didn't get to it because I moved the website over. One of the tiniest CPU coolers that I've ever reviewed. This is the Scythe Shuriken 3. 39 millimeters, so small form factor build. And it'd be interesting. This will be the first cooler that I test on my new CPU cooler test bench. So this will definitely not be the benchmark because it is not made for a desktop PC, really. It's made for small form factor, but we have it in, so we're going to test this one first. We have a bunch of other air coolers as well. But that's what we have coming up next week, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then for our question of the week, since we were talking about laptops, if you were going to buy a new laptop, would you buy one with a dedicated GPU, or would you try to keep it thin and light?
I've said it multiple times, and I'm going to pop it up here. I'm going to present. Let's find my screen I want to share. Boom. And... can you add that up there?
Yeah. Let's
see. So I would get a kind of a combo device, the ROG Flow Z13.
Okay. Yeah, and you played on this, so yeah.
I did. You know, I loved it. I think it like makes a lot of sense for my use case, right? Sometimes I do want to utilize a tablet form factor. It's not very often, but every now and then I do have a use for it, right? But most of the time I need to use a laptop. And if I can game on this thing and, you know, get a lot of battery life, have a really nice screen, just like everything about this was great. So this is like my answer right here, right? I'm going to go with something
You might make me change my answer now, because I was going to say, for the most part, I'm very thin and light. I like to be thin and light. Yeah.
Now, there's some Zen books that I'm looking at, too, that they have that are thin and light. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, they have some, like I said, they have some good stuff. I think that's the thing, is that we're getting to the point where, like, even like discrete GPU laptops are very thin. It's not like they're super thick, unless you're getting like the 5080, 5090 class. And even then, they're still not insanely big for the most part. But yeah, I honestly think you made me change my mind. I think that I would go for something like that, because that still has enough power. I can still game. And it's not necessarily a discrete laptop. It is a two-in-one, so you can use it like a tablet, which could definitely come in handy when it comes to a bunch of different things as well. Man, I'm going to have to... Yeah. I really like one of those. So... Yep. So yeah, so I think that's my answer as well. Also, I didn't mention at the beginning of the podcast, there was an earthquake here.
Yeah,
in San Diego.
Yeah, I saw.
And
that was the first one you really felt, right?
Yeah. So I was at the gym. I have earbuds in, and I'm sitting at the gym, and I was like lifting my weights, and I thought somebody like fell over, because like I felt the shake, and I was like. And I looked around, like I'm thinking somebody maybe like dropped their weights or something, you know, and I was like, what? And then on my phone, it was like an immediate like alert that was like drop cover earthquake. Like I've never seen an alert like that either on my phone. And I was like, oh, wow. And then there was like a couple aftershocks that you could feel as well. But it was the first time I've ever felt it, because I have like relatives and friends, and there might've been an earthquake somewhere. And they're like, oh, did you feel it? I'm like, yeah, I didn't feel anything. But this one, I actually felt, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Like it was just very,
first one you've ever felt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We had them for like and it had to be fracking, right? Like there's no way it wasn't, because like it has kind of stopped. And I think they've like reduced their fracking, but we would get them here. Not like a 6, because that was what, like a 6.2 or something?
Yeah, it was 6.2.
Like, we don't get that here, but like you would still feel them, and you're like, what the hell is that? Yeah, I can't imagine being in like a bigger one.
Yeah, no, like nothing happened. Like, I came back to my place, nothing had fallen over here or anything like that. But there were, like, I had some friends like, oh, it knocked over my, you know, like something they had hanging up or something, but I didn't really, but. Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy like the one that happened in, like, what was that, Thailand or wherever that was, like a month ago.
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, that is essentially it for this week. It's good to be back. It's good to have a functional website so you guys can see all the content that we're putting out. Now, we will be switching over to Twitch. Ryan's going to run our stream. We're playing, what, Apex this week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, playing some Apex Legends over there. So that's our gaming stream. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Of course, Ryan runs the stream, like I said. So we'll be over there. We have a question in the chat.
I was just typing my answer. Yeah, go ahead.
It says, who wants a 5090 with 575 power consumption? I wish next gen chip will drop twice power consumption. This is just nuts. Yeah, I mean... when you get up to those high of cards, especially 5090, I mean, your power consumption is going to be incredibly high.
If you wanted like a half the power consumption, you're not going to get your generational performance that you would expect, right? You're going to get probably worse performance based on that efficiency.
Yeah. That's kind of like I said,
some sort of breakthrough like power delivery method
I mean, all of the 90 class cards have always had the highest power consumption, and it kind of always goes up too. We say cards are more efficient. Yeah, they're providing more power
per watt.
Yeah, they're providing more performance per watt, but they're still going up in.
Yeah.
Power requirement is still going up. So that's kind of where you're looking at. When you're looking at a 50 class card, it's just kind of, or a 90 class card, that's just kind of how it is. But thanks for the question or comment. That was cool, VFX. And everybody who was in here, we had some new people in here. Good to see everybody in the live chat. Of course, we always like talking to you guys and trying to answer your questions as best we can. But like I said, we are going over to Twitch. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And Ryan's going to have that stream. So we'll see everybody next week.